Office Industrial Connection show background.
I don't use backgrounds. I'm not that cool. What's up, everyone? It's Andrew Bermudez, co-founder and CEO of Digzy, the commercial real estate search engine for tenants, investors, owner users, brokers to find commercial real estate for free. Notice for free. And yeah, go to getdigzy.com, list your properties there. Cody, who's our guest today, is actually going to be listing all of his investment properties with us. Cody, welcome aboard. And why don't we tell somebody what you're all about? What do you do? Who is your daddy? What does he do? What your favorite hamburger or your favorite retail spot is to eat sandwiches, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And after that, tell us who your favorite Smurf is. And I'm just kidding. You don't have to do any of that. Just tell us okay. Who you are, what you do.
Because I don't know any of the Smurfs. But no, so I'm with Colliers International. Yeah, I've been in the real estate industry for 15 years. We got a team of 8 guys here. We specialize in office and industrial investment sales in North Texas. So we work a lot, mostly in Dallas-Fort Worth. You know, we do every now and then dip outside of there. But our primary focus is selling investment and office-grade buildings. You know, we do a lot of work with out-of-state, in-state, out-of-state, out-of-country investors. And, you know, as the market continues to shift as it is now, you know, you get to experience and meet a lot more unique individuals as well that come out during these times. And so, you know, we're appreciate you bringing us on and we're just plugging away.
It's a pleasure, man. Thanks for reaching out. So we're going to talk about a few things that I think will really interest not only brokers, but mainly the property owners, right? The investors.
Yeah.
How would you, so there's main concerns, getting the utmost price for it, like, you know, highest use and price. Second, how do you reduce months on market? You know, how to move my property quickly so I have very little carry costs, or even if it's not, I can move on to my next project. And also, it's kind of like, okay, what do you guys do different than, or not even you guys per se, but things that you think are things that can help achieve all those things, whether using technology or marketing or let's say, for example, 3D tours, virtual tours, Matterports, et cetera. So let's start with the first question, right? What can an office or an industrial landlord do to basically, whether it's cosmetic or just some changes that will actually make the property more appealing, somebody will actually bid more dollars for?
Well, when it comes to selling a project, especially if it's, you know, an office or an industrial building, especially down here in Texas, and if an owner wants to sell it, what are some of the key items that they can do? You know, some of it is, you know, simply pure cosmetic, or for the most part, if it's a value add deal like we're working on right now, that's very, very low occupancy. You know, we've got a story to tell on the building, and we said, don't do anything whatsoever. You know, the building has been, you know, mismanaged severely. You know, they haven't had the right leasing folks on there. And so we said, what you're doing is perfect for the story to sell the deal if we're selling it right now. If you want to keep it, let's get you resituated with a better management company, a better leasing company, and get some of these spaces a little more appealing to the tenants. And so it really depends on the type of building. You know, if it's stabilized, you know, and we're just trying to get peak market pricing, we generally just sometimes look into what is an inspector going to find, what's the PCA going to uncover. And so it just really depends on the type of building and asset and area as well.
Give us some ideas about some cosmetic things that have made a big change in your career that you wish like you knew when you first started out in brokerage.
Well, and you know, like take the office side for example. I mean, the office industry for the longest time was really stuck in the Stone Ages. You know, up until you know, probably 2012, 13, 14, 15 is when it really started making a lot of changes, especially with co-working. As you know, coming about and making big splashes. And, you know, I don't know if you know, the co-working side out here in Dallas, Dallas-Fort Worth has expanded by, I think they said, and this was pre-COVID, has expanded by almost 200% in just 2 years. And so that's a market that has really started to take over out here and expand and grow. And so you got a lot of buildings that look for those style of tenants because some of those guys can help lease the rest of the vacancies. And so that's something that, you know, many landlords have looked at. I know some of those guys are struggling right now. I've got several friends that run some franchises on the co-working side, but they, you know, are very positive on the outlook, and they see things getting better and better. And some actually say with what happened with COVID, these companies having to figure out how to work from home is going to help them in the long run anyways. And so, you know, branding yourself with certain companies like that, I believe has helped out certain amenities.
Let's go back a little bit. So you mentioned Office was stuck in the Stone Ages. So what cosmetic changes could you make to the office? Like, can you talk a little bit about that? Like, what
exactly? Yeah, well, so the office side, so technology has advanced so much for everything, whether it's office, industrial, or anything. And so, you know, certain LEDs, certain timers, energy management systems that are allowing these buildings to run a lot more efficiently. There's so many technologies that these owners and managers can access now that can help reduce bottom line costs on just the operational side alone. And then, you know, if you're just talking about cosmetic, I mean, you know, everybody likes, you know, brighter space, more open feel. And so, you know, you see a lot more glass, you see a lot more, you know, brighter lights and lighter colors used throughout buildings. And so, and then you've got, you know, other areas, you know, like certain design districts that like the industrial style feel. So it just, you know, it tailors to the area and the tenant base that you're trying to access.
Got it. And then I think you were going to go in a different direction. You were going to go into the amenities and things like that.
Yeah. I don't remember what I talk about half the time, but yeah. So, I mean, you know, certain buildings do have a few more amenities than, you know, others. And so that's kind of what separates some of these guys from, you know, class A to class B. And, you know, up here in Collin County, we got, you know, a lot of very high end, very nice office towers that were put out there that have a lot of good amenities. And so, you know, it just really depends on the building and the tenant base, but you know, office is shifting, and with COVID right now, it's shifting, and it's shifting fast. And I think there's a lot of people trying to figure out where it's headed, but nobody knows. Only time will tell.
Give us some examples about the amenities. Like, what are some things that drive up value and things like that? What exactly is it? Like a sandwich shop? Is it like having a pool? Like, just give us some examples to.
So I mean, if you're trying to bump up rents for tenants, you know, having an on-site deli, you know, people definitely look into. You're seeing a lot more gyms and buildings than you used to. And so it's little things like that that can not just help bump up rents, but also help attract more tenants to the buildings.
Now, when you, let's say I can really see a gym in a building being, because it's all about travel time, people have kids, et cetera, right? Is it beneficial for the landlord also to put a gym since rents can be higher for something like that? Or am I mistaken that you discount the rent for a gym, let's say, in an office building?
Well, I think a gym is unquestionably an amenity for an office building. So, you know, if we're out looking for a space and the building's got a gym or if it doesn't have a gym, I mean, that makes a big difference for me and a lot of the guys. I mean, you know, I've got some of the largest guns in Texas over here. And so, you know, we got to make sure those puppies are fed regularly. but no, a gym unquestionably is a very good amenity that I see a lot of landlords shifting to.
Yeah,
it does take up space. But what it does is it makes it an option that a lot of tenants look for when looking for a building.
In addition
almost
to deli,
like people that, I was gonna say almost like people looking for a house with a pool.
Yeah. Now let's dig a little bit deeper on here. Like aside from a gym and a deli, what other things are you seeing that are kind of like, oh wow, this is just gonna attract, you know, because usually it's like an amenity that usually attracts a tenant to pick one building over another, right?
Yeah, and I can tell you for being in Texas, I mean, you know, it gets hot out here. We had to come to a building that had covered parking.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't believe how many actually don't. And that's very important for me. And so I know a lot of the guys here as well. And so our building here has got a great covered parking. It's got a great deli. We love that a lot. We missed the gym from the last building. You know, also not as much paid parking in certain areas as well. And so, you know, because in the downtown we were paying, you know, I think 200 some a month
just to park per car per
and covered per car. And so moving over here, we don't pay that anymore. And so it's, you know, it's a little bit of everything.
What about brand name coffee shops and things like that, like a Starbucks or like I've seen some buildings that have like a Pete's Coffee in there. Is that something that drives value or is that something like, you already got the deli, people will settle without coffee there?
I think the coffee shop works in certain areas, you know, like having a good coffee shop in Uptown, where a lot of those millennials are very much, you know, looking to engage in that sort of environment, I think is very, very good. You know, I don't think we have a Coachella out here, but, you know, I think that it just depends on the building and the tenants that they are trying to attract to the building. And so absolutely, if it's a younger generation, yeah, they'd kill to have a Starbucks and stand in line with their beanies and flip-flops on.
I remember prior to COVID, there's been some consideration for some institutional landlords too to grab the common areas and, you know, deploy high quality Wi-Fi and broadband everywhere, basically turning these unused common areas as like a co-working type thing. Have you guys seen that in your market?
I have in certain areas, not as broadly used. And so like our building here, I mean, you don't have access to the building. It's not a smart building. It doesn't have free Wi-Fi to people. But you do have that in other buildings. And so I have seen that, you know, that's, I think, utilized a lot better on the co-working side, kind of like what you were saying. I mean, you know, I think those guys, a lot of those guys offer it. But as far as the actual building offering it, there's not a lot that I know of. There are a few out here that do. And I think that is unquestionably an attraction point for a lot of people.
Yeah. And let's talk about the industrial side. Same questions. Like what can an industrial owner do to, you know, improve the appeal of the property?
You know, at the end of the day out here with how industrial is, and if you're an owner and you're trying to sell it, I mean, industrial is the hottest product we have out here. The last few industrial deals that we listed, we didn't even have to list. I mean, we had them sold before we even brought them to market. And so there's really not a lot that, you know, is to be done there, because we sell these things based on not what they're currently bringing in, but what they should be bringing in.
Yeah.
And so even if your building's not getting the most for, you know, the best dollar amount it is, you know, it's like, say you have an industrial building out here and you're not getting a market rent. We're still going to sell it very, very close to what it would be if it was a market rent.
Got it. And what are some of the cap rates that you're seeing out there for industrial and then for office?
So on the industrial side, you know, we're working on one Class A project up north. They're going to be in the high six. It's probably gonna be around 6.75. But it's a very nice product, very nice, very good area. Some of the, you know, Class B 80 stuff, you know, we've got one in Arlington that we've got under. I think that's at about a 7% on the cap rate. They've got
nice.
A good long-term lease. When it comes to office is going to be a little more tricky. It's what a lot of people don't realize is selling investment office buildings is, I believe, really an art. And knowing how to price it, knowing how to pitch it, knowing how to sell it is more important than ever, especially in today's market. And so I've seen office sell anywhere from, you know, high six to a 10.
Yeah. So let's do a scenario right now. We're going to go into time, like reducing time on market.
Okay.
I'm Andrew Bermudez. I own, let's not say industrial, right? Simply because it's so hot. But some of the concepts are going to carry over from regardless of property type. But I come to you and I say, hey, I want you to sell my multi-tenant portfolio, one building, let's just say one building, large building. I want you to, but I don't want it to be in the market, you know, more than like, let's say 3 months. What are some of the things that if I was asking you, right, on what I need to look for to identify if I'm getting bullshit from a broker or not, like what do you know works that you would say, hey, here's how you reduce time on market, here's the qualifications you're going to look for, here's what you got to look at your building, etc. How does, let's say, Cody yourself, how do you reduce months on market? Like, what's it, is it your database, your network, technology, marketing, you know, is it high-end photos, is it, what is it? Just tell us, here's the proven formula that we've come up with to reduce that months of market. And here's Mr. Whether you hire me or you hire somebody else, you need to be looking for these things.
Absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, we always throw it on Craigslist. That's the best way to sell it. That was a joke, by the way.
I know.
No, look, if it's office and say you're Andrew, you got an office building, you want to sell it and you're trying to figure out, you know, how to use the right person. I mean, especially in today's market, you want to know, okay, what does this guy know about the market? What has he sold out here? What does he know about the rental rate, the vacancies, how long it takes to lease a vacancy? That's what makes me and a lot of the guys here I think a lot more advanced than a lot of the other investment sale agents on the office side, because many of us have leased it, managed it, owned it, bought and sold it, ran it, everything and anything underneath the sun. And so we know it in and out. And so, you know, I lease buildings, I was telling you before we got on here, you know, for about 10 years out here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So when it comes to leasing, you know, we're very, very knowledgeable on that. We know the tenant sizes that run in these areas. You know, certain areas, you're not going to see tenants that are over 5,000 square feet. And so, you know, some of these guys will try to sell a deal and they've got, you know, vacancies that are running 15, 20,000 square feet. And they don't know, hey, you got to chop that space down and, you know, direct that towards the smaller local user. And so when it comes to an owner, you know, trying to figure out who's the best to use is, you know, really asking those key pertinent questions, because that's what's going to tell you who's got the knowledge base that can do it. And then after that, then it starts coming to marketing. Okay, what are you going to do to market it? How big's your database? You know, I think ours is about 80,000 investor owners plus all across the U.S. And then we've got, actually it's more than that now, but then we've got a big broker database. And, you know, we'll put stuff on RCM, we'll put stuff on every site we can. You can do a big boy blast, you can do a little bit of everything. And, you know, we'll also tell people, hey, this is who we're going to target. I'll just give them the list. You know, that doesn't matter to me. I mean, we'll tell them, hey, this is who we're going to target because your building and where it's priced is offering this return. And these guys look for this return. And so, you know, we'll tell them exactly who we're going to target initially and we can take them to them right now. Mm-hmm. But then if it needs a broader, wider, more expansive deal, then it needs to get out there. It needs to get on the market. It needs to be accessible to everybody across the globe that we don't have, because we don't have everybody. Nobody's got everybody. You know, I was talking to an owner a few weeks ago, and he said that we were competing against another guy. And I just said, hey, what does he say his advantage is? And he goes, well, that guy says he's got all the Asian buyers. And I said, all of them? It's weird. That's an awful lot.
A billion people. And yeah, that's just one country. What about the other country?
Yeah. And you know, the company was a local firm too. And I said, you know, I highly doubt they have all the Asian buyers, but you know, it's an okay sales pitch. You know, it's very easy to see through stuff like that, but you know, getting it on certain platforms and I know the power of technology and what it can do for office and industrial buildings. And so if you want to do a wide, expansive marketing campaign, it's getting on sites all across the board. And people don't realize how many there are and how actually getting them on all these platforms can help cross over and really help sell a deal. And so knowing and understanding that, because at the end of the day, the commercial real estate industry on the investment side has been stuck in the Stone Ages forever up until recently. I believe that.
So how are some of the things that you think that a property owner or a seller, you know, should like, or even a broker should be taken advantage of to, you know, ascend to, let's say today's technology to market and everything else that you're talking about? Like, where are the opportunities? What's not being done enough? What's been successful for you, et cetera?
Well, and so one thing I'll see is, you know, if somebody lists something, a lot of times they'll just put it on, say, CoStar, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And they'll just kind of sit there and wait. Well, with how technology is, and I mean, you know this, you know, probably better than anybody. I mean, there's so many investors, active users, owners all across the globe that access hundreds of different platforms. And so if you're just using one, even if it's one of the biggest, if you're just using the one, you're limiting yourself, you're pigeonholing yourself. And so accessing as many as possible, I always think is the best key if you are doing that style of campaign. A lot of times I can tell you on our end, we don't really have to go past the first few weeks because our database is very strong because we are very niche specific. We're not selling multifamily. We're not selling hospitality. We are very sole focused on office and industrial. So anybody that looks for office or buys office or anything in Texas, you know, we get a hold of them, get their contact info, make sure that they see everything that we bring out immediately and continuously brand ourselves, you know, is the Texas Office and Industrial Group of Texas. And so, you know, we do a very good job, I believe, on what we bring out.
Okay, so you're saying email marketing for sure, because that's why you have the list, right? So there's email, there's phone calls to targeted investors, I'm sure. And then there's also getting it on all the listing platforms. And
correct.
What else?
You know, I think that's what you do initially, if you're depending on your campaign and what you want to do, because you know how some people are, we don't want to list it or we don't want it out there on the market. We want you to just send it to your guys. And so, you know, that's one avenue that you go. The broadest avenue is to get it on all platforms, you know, have the right videos done on it, have the right photos done on it, have the right information on the project that is situated towards, you know, everybody that looks at it, because you'd be surprised how many people that own self-storage or multifamily or hospitality that buy office and industrial buildings off of us because of how we situate the deals and how we customize the offerings to fit how those guys view projects.
Now, you and I met via social media, right? We met specifically LinkedIn, and then I've seen you on Twitter a few times, I believe. What about social media? Does that do anything? Has that proven to drive any buyers or marketing of properties in your experience? Because you're an investment sale, so I just don't know if aside from LinkedIn, I don't know if the audience is there.
Well, I can tell you we have sold plenty of projects by posting it on LinkedIn because a lot of people that look for office and industrial do follow us and follow our page. So I know we've had great luck on there. I know one of my guys sold I think it was like a $2.5 million office building a while back ago, off of, I think he had posted on like Facebook or his Twitter or something. And, you know, there's a lot of investors that follow a lot of those forums. And so he had done it on there. I mean, you know, and so the answer is yes, we actually have, absolutely have sold stuff, via social media. Otherwise we wouldn't use it.
What about, aside from LinkedIn, any other platforms that you guys spend time on that you think, you know, can yield somewhat results like this?
You know,
Twitter or Facebook or Instagram.
Yeah, you know, Twitter is more for me to just, you know, get in arguments with people more than anything. You know, that's really what Twitter is for me. But
next time you get into an argument, tag me at Andrew Bermudez. Okay. I want to see this.
All right. It's usually little petty stuff, political stuff sometimes. But
fun.
Yeah, it's the good stuff.
The next time is religion. The next thing is money that we start arguing about.
No
surprise there.
But no, I mean, you know, for the most part, I mean, you know, when you take a lot of these platforms like an Instagram, like a Facebook, I know a lot of agents that have sunk a lot of money into those, into the marketing on them, and really haven't seen really much of a return, if any, on them. And so, you know, I think getting on real platforms, like we were talking about other internet service companies, kind of like what y'all operate, and, you know, RCM, and I mean, there's a laundry list of them.
Are you talking what we run? Are you talking about Digzy?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, cool. Just making sure.
Absolutely, yeah. So putting the projects on Digzy and other listing platforms to where they're accessible to everybody that looks on those specific ones is, I believe, very, very key.
And now, go ahead. Sorry. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and there's a lot of them. People don't realize how many of them there are. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, a lot of these are not really great for certain things. And so, like, take, you know, take City Feet or something like that, or Off Space. Like that's good for leasing certain office buildings, but probably isn't the best for selling an investment office building.
Right.
And so knowing the right ones for the right job is important.
Let's shift gears a little bit. I'm going to have to push you back on social media because you've got such a great presence on LinkedIn, where I think it wouldn't help you in social media to go like Instagram or some of the other, I don't know about Facebook, unless it's like an ad or something, or maybe your clients, but I can definitely see helping you like create your brand and, you know, make people aware of what things, you know, you're doing and kind of extend your relationship beyond LinkedIn, right? Simply because, like, let's say you've got some building owners you want to do business with, you know, you're connected with them on LinkedIn, and then you add them on Facebook, then, you know, when you put that picture of the barbecue, you sit there with your kids, you know, you kind of deepen the relationship a little bit more. So it's like you're in touch in front of them and out of reach. But I don't see a lot of people doing that. Do you do that?
You know, I don't use my Facebook very much. I know we have a team page on Facebook. And the same thing with Instagram. And to be honest, if you see anything personal of mine, it's just going to be hot rods, because that's my hobby that I have. And so, That's really the only thing you'll ever see from me on the nights and weekends.
Yeah.
And so I don't post much personally. A lot of pretty much everything I do is just all business.
Yeah. What's your favorite gadget that you've got that's helped, you know, just whether it's business or not? Is it your smartphone? Is it like a camera that you have? Your hot rod, you know, you just mentioned that.
Yeah, I mean, well, my hot rod's personal, but that's a passion of mine. You know, I've got a bunch of cars from the 70s. I'm a very big fan of the 70s. I live in the 70s. And I know that's a problem that I have, and I'll take care of that at some point. But
who cares, man?
No, no. I like it. I like American muscle cars, and yeah, that's what I've got. You know, we've got a lot of cool little technology here as well. We've got a really cool 3D camera. That we can use for buildings, and we've had to use it multiple times actually already because of how COVID is and people out of state or whatnot or that don't want to come out have, you know, asked for, you know, seeing the building kind of 360 viewing. And so utilizing that's fun. You know, I think all of our buildings are droned as well and have a lot of really cool features and little things that we use. And you know, we've got some really good apps and stuff that me and the guys use that help us coordinate with each other on a lot of projects. And so, like I said, there's eight of us. And to be honest, on a particular listing, we'll probably have three or four of us, but everything that we do is just coincides with each other. And so we know exactly what's been sent, what has been sent, what's been done, who said what, and whatnot. And so, you know, I've got some good younger guys here that are very tech savvy. Very tech savvy.
What if you could go back in time, knowing what you know now, what would you tell what would future self tell your younger self to do to have become more successful faster in your career?
Probably to trust your gut with certain people. I can't tell you how many people I've wasted time on or have just been a heartache to deal with. And at the end of the day, it wasn't worth the money. And that's what I've learned really in life is there's a lot of things that are not worth the money. And there's a lot of people that I've dealt with that looking back on it, I shouldn't have. And I could have spent my time elsewhere and probably done a lot more business by doing that. And so, you know, I probably would have just told myself, be a little more, you know, careful on who you allocate your time to, because if they don't respect your time, then they don't respect you. And so, you know, that's one thing to keep in mind, and maybe just a little more patience. You know, I tell you, I made a lot of good strides though, when the market crashed in 2008, 9 and 10, I was with a broker who told me, you know, Cody, a lot of agents are going to leave the industry and you need to get out there and, just, you know, yell out what you do and whatnot to everybody that will listen. And so I did that. And I think that helped me out quite a bit. And we're actually doing the same right now. I think we've got a little window for COVID, and I'm hoping this will blow over and you know, be back to maybe not normal, but the new normal here pretty soon. And I'm very optimistic about it. And so we were all working 24/7 during COVID, through COVID, and even today to continue to capture more market share than what we had.
Are you a wine guy, a beer guy, or a spirits guy?
I mean, I'll drink it all. I'll mix it all. You know,
really, what's your favorite?
I don't really have. I'll drink anything.
You're some kerosene.
I'll drink anything. You know, I drink a lot of probably Dos Equis.
Oh, nice. I love Dos Equis. Amber or the darker?
Nah, the amber's crap, man. You got to do it. Nah, amber's bad. Amber's real bad.
That's so awesome. And then
I was going to say, while you say that, have you had something called a ranch water?
No. What is that?
I don't know what it is either. One of the guys here had got like a six pack. It's called ranch water. And apparently, I guess it's not allowed to be sold in gas stations because it's almost like a seltzer, but it's got actual liquor in it, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have like, out here, they have like those seltzers is like Truly, White Claw.
Yeah, no, it's way heavier than that.
Oh, okay.
It's way more hardcore than that.
Yeah. Got it.
No, it'll, you don't need very many of them.
That is so funny. I have another question for you. What's your favorite type of music?
Well, I'm from Texas, so it's country. It's Texas
cool.
country.
I love country. Know? Yeah. Well, who's your favorite band or artist?
You know, my favorite band is Angels and Airwaves.
Really?
I don't know if you know them or not.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, it's Tom DeLonge. From Blink 182. They're no, I think they might start recording another thing, but they've been like not doing anything for a long time.
I went to their concert last year here.
Yeah, so they did do it. So I had read about that. But you know why I was following Tom DeLonge? You know, he's all into like UFOs and aliens and all kinds of stuff. And what is it like to the Stars Academy? And he like recruited a bunch of like really high level people that work for the government, the FBI, the CIA, dark black programs and all that stuff.
Well, because he's
black
got
projects, black projects.
Yeah, because he's got that story that he said that government operative met him at a diner. I think in California, and said that they found alien bodies during the Cold War. And so ever since then, he's just been convinced of it. And, you know, even Joe Rogan's, you know, way out there. I like Joe, but you know, he had Tom on the show, and even Joe Rogan was like, I got weird, you know? And so, but I tell you, he still sounds good. He's very good on stage. I like his music, and every time he's come to town, I've seen him. And so he's very, very, I'm a big fan of him.
I think, am I mistaken, was he going to rejoin Blink-182? I think I read something about
it. He did, but then they broke up pretty quickly. Yeah.
So he came back and left.
Yeah, but they still, Blink still tours. They replaced him with somebody else, but I never cared for Blink-182.
Yeah, I wasn't a big Blink fan. It's just that pop punk stuff, like, just never got my eye. Like, a little bit more, like, metal, a little bit more.
It's late 90s pop, you know, it's VH1 pop-up video kind of stuff.
I love pop-up video, man.
Oh yeah, those were great. But that's what it was. You know? Yeah.
What's your favorite country artist?
You know, it's probably going to be one of the Texas country guys, like Joshua Ray Walker, or whatnot. You know, a lot of these are local folks. Sunny Sweeney, she's out of East Texas. I've listened to her for probably 12, 15 years.
Have you heard some of these alt country bands? Like, they call them alt country, but it's a country, but it's I can't tell the difference. Have you heard of like the Randy Rogers band?
Oh yeah, I've seen them in concert many times out here. They're very good.
I love that band.
I think they're from San Antonio.
Have you heard of Rustin Kelly?
Nah, I don't remember Rustin Kelly.
This guy, so he's married to Casey Musgraves. Well, they just divorced. Or they're splitting up now. I'll send you a link to Rustin Kelly. So his last record, he just had a new record. I haven't heard it yet, but his last record, every single song in that record is fantacular.
Fantacular?
It is amazing, dude. It is so good. Rustin Kelly is like just amazing. And then there's another band that I like a lot, which people don't hear about. And it's strange because all the guys in the band used to be like hardcore punk rockers.
Yeah.
And it's a band called Drag the River. Like, you know, you're looking for bodies.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like this twangy, almost bluegrass, but at the same time, kind of like contemporary country. And it's got like this like crazy lyrics. Like it's much more like a dark country. But not like morbid or anything. Like, it's just like, a lot sadder and a lot deeper, but like super catchy. I'll send you a link to that too, dude. That's one of my favorite bands.
I'll have to check that out. I'll send you a couple of Texas country guys
that'd be great. Yeah,
I'd love it. Not known on the scene, not known on the big scene, you know, the Nashville scene, but they're very good down here. And but yeah, Randy Rogers, man, I tell you, he is phenomenal in concert. He's one of the best sounding guys I've heard in concert.
Dude, he's amazing. His voice is incredible. Every single song is super catchy and good. There's another guy. Have you heard of, I think it's Matt Beaver. He's kind of like a Randy Rogers type guy.
No, it's a good name though.
Yeah. He's Maren Morris, I think. She was like in one of his songs, which is really cool.
I don't know. You know, we got some big Texas bands out here, like the Turnpike Troubadours and whatnot that are really big. And, you know, there's actually a lot out of Oklahoma as well. People don't realize how much country music actually comes out of Oklahoma. You know, Garth Brooks and Toby Keith, they came out of Oklahoma.
Yeah. I love Toby Keith and Garth Brooks.
You know, I saw Toby in concert not long ago.
George Strait is still, like, the song he wrote, like, back in 2000, like, Run. I absolutely love George Strait. Such a good song. I listen to it all the time.
I did a cover of that in high school for a girl.
You played it on the guitar?
No, I just sang it. Okay. It sounded like crap. Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say it's not an easy song to play on the guitar.
No, I can't play the guitar. I just did a voiceover.
Yeah, nice.
And no, it didn't work out, but it's all
Who
right.
Who cares? That's awesome, yes, dude.
Yes, I still have
the lucky person.
I still have the Cody Payne mixtape 2002.
Oh, my friends always make fun of me. So back in like 2004, I grabbed a CD. This is when you used to like burn CDs. And I didn't know what to name it so that I would find it again, because a lot of people just don't make the time. And I put Koala Mix 2004, like the animal.
I think mine was Cowtown Volume 3, but it was my first CD.
That is so rad. Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, Cody, if anybody's curious to reach out to you, how can they locate you and get in contact with you?
You know, I'm probably one of the easiest investment agents to find. Cody Payne on LinkedIn, TexasOfficeInvestments.com. You can go to either of those. You can get in touch with us. We're around 24/7. We don't shut our doors. We don't know how to, so we just took them off the hinges.
Awesome, man. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. If you've been watching this and you like this interview, please hit the subscribe button, like it, share it, whatever social media you're on. But thank you for coming online with me, Cody. It's been a pleasure to see your face.
Yeah.
And we'll catch up soon. I'm sure I'll see you today or tomorrow on LinkedIn.
I appreciate it.
See you, man.
All right.
Awesome.